Time for us to talk about design thinking, why it's trending and how it can impact our lives on the African continent. Delighted to have Prof. Mugendi Mrita, industrial designer, educator, researcher at Machakos University with us from Kenya. George Kemble, the founder of the first design school at Stanford University. Richard Perez, founder and director of the Hasso Plattner D School. Africa's first school for design thinking. Prof, just help us here. What exactly is design thinking?
Thanks, and hi, everyone. Design thinking is many things, but it is a set of tools or methodologies on how we can enhance creativity and innovation. It gives us the tools to have greater empathy with end users of any product, service, or system that we're trying to design together. And the whole process emphasizes co-creation as the way to come up with these new solutions.
Just talk to us about this transition that businesses are undertaking to innovative rather than traditional business models. Make it simple for us, please, Prof.
Okay, I'll try. I think what businesses are increasingly realizing is that they have the right technical skills to, you know, solve just about any challenge in the marketplace, but that the customers are getting more and more complex and nuanced. So the whole idea is trying to match this shape-shifting customer, if I might put it that way, this dynamic and ever-changing customer in this very dynamic marketplace with the kind of products or services that they peddle as their business. And the only way you can do this is by actually engaging directly with these potential customers and hearing them speak about what their own aspirations, hopes, and desires are, and doing their very best to match those. And I think when that happens, that's where we have customers being much more satisfied and delighted in whatever they're buying or receiving.
I got you. And of what significance is it? Because you single out the continent as being as benefiting from design thinking. How specifically does it impact the African continent?
Well, by using design thinking, we skip a lot of waste and wastefulness because a lot of our efforts, despite being well-intentioned, eventually may end up not really solving the challenges that we have on this vast continent. Remember, Africa is a very diverse place, some 54 countries, and we're almost 1.4 billion people now. And often we have this homogenized idea of Africa. Africa is not the same everywhere. The people may have similar aspirations, hopes, and some traditions and philosophies overlap, but each part of Africa is unique in its own way. So by using design thinking, you zero in on the peculiarities and the uniqueness of those people, and therefore the markets they operate in. It increases efficiency, of course, reduces waste, as I mentioned, and ultimately solidifies the relationship between the service provider and the customer. And I think that's a good thing, because people ultimately don't just pay for goods because of the goods themselves, but the relationship they enjoy with whoever is supplying those goods.
So I got you. So we are prioritizing the shape-shifting consumers' needs above all else. Let's go to George Kemble, the founder of the first design thinking school at Stanford University. Just, are people waking up to the benefits of design thinking? Are we understanding its role in society in the future?
Hi, everyone. It's good to be here. Yes, I think it's been really unexpected for us. Some of the work has been the Stanford Design School, when I was a part of starting it, leading it. It's almost 20 years ago now. I think one of the really interesting things is to really witness how widespread it has become. It's spreading into our learning systems and how our kids start to develop the skillfulness to understand what problems are worth solving and how they go about solving that, how they work in teams collaboratively as opposed to just individually, is spreading at all in early education, higher education, and beyond. It's been, and that's also globally. The D schools are beacons of that, in the States and in Europe and here in South Africa. But it's also spreading in other school systems. Another interesting thing that we've found is it's spread into the way businesses run, and a lot of the startups, whether in Silicon Valley or globally, are using these human-centered experimental ways of moving as the kind of innovation engine in the way they develop and run and find the markets that they end up building their businesses for. So in the startup and entrepreneurial community, and then often in a lot of large businesses in the way they work at the continued transformation of what it means to offer products and services at scale that meet market interests. And then maybe even finally in governments, asking the question, how do you cultivate creative economies? How do you create spaces to solve some of our most systemic issues? So in a way, this has enlivened each of us personally. It has shifted our own lives. It has awakened parts of us to move more wholly. And it's been quite a delight to see how it has been received, and evolved and advanced globally.
A really non-linear kind of approach, nearly. 20 years later, you're at the coal face of development of design thinking. What does that coal face look like?
Now, well, it's curious. We're all sitting here together asking that very question. And what's, I think, really interesting is a lot of us want to know the answers of the future. And the future is something we get to co-create, as Mugende was saying. And we'll always be in a place where we get to face the unknown. And the really interesting thing as it relates to design thinking and being intentional about your creative processes, moving in a creative way is designed specifically towards moving in towards unknown outcomes. If we knew the solution, it wouldn't be a creative
Sure.
act. And I think that's one of the things that we are being asked to do individually and collectively and globally is how do we move creatively together?
Let's get a sense of where South Africa's at. Richard Perez is the founder and the director of the Asso Platna D School Africa, Africa's first school of design thinking. Where is it located, Richard?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. We're hosted at the University of Cape Town. The model for D schools around the world is to find a strong academic host,
Okay.
and base ourselves there. It's very non-traditional, so one that does struggle to find the sort of right faculty setting to find a home. But the university is a good space for us to be, specifically around the teaching and learning that we need to do.
Yeah, and I would imagine, well, most of that is virtually anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why the physical space? Yeah.
Yeah, what we found when we started back in 2016 is the importance of having a place, a home, a physical place, a destination that people could come to. Our work transcends across the university, in fact, across the country, across the continent. But the importance of having a lighthouse, a place that people can come to, where we can run experiments, we can meet physically, is very important. And a lot of the work we do is it's in the virtual as well as in the physical. But the importance of a physical space place is being paramount to the importance of what we do.
I want to, just from your perspective in South Africa, if you can give us an example so we unequivocally understand what design thinking is all about. Maybe just share an example or maybe a case study where design thinking has been successfully applied by entrepreneurs. Give us an example thereof.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny you should actually ask that. In the work we're doing right now, we have an alumni student came through the D School back in 2016, and one of the key takeaways was just the structured thinking that a design approach can bring. And the company voice was very much there were two entrepreneurs who had lots of great ideas, but through the experience of just being at the D School, just understanding the importance of being more curious and asking questions, and following a bit more of a structured process. And through a journey, They're now based overseas in the Netherlands, but through the journey, entrepreneurship journey, they developed software which now analyzes voice recordings and looks for compliance in conversations, specifically around the financial sector. And they now have clients across the world, UK state, in the United States, as well as in South Africa. But I think the value that the D School brought was taking this energy of these two young students and giving them some structure to work in, giving them some direction, and in some ways a bit of a network to work with. So sort of helping them along their way in a more meaningful direction.
Sure, I get the sense there is structure, but there's also versatility. I want to turn to Prof. Mugendi Ritha, industrial designer, educator, and researcher at Machakos University in Kenya. Oh, how do the wild cards factor into design thinking, Prof? Inequality is a wild card. How that's going to play out in the world, no one knows. Climate change is a wild card. How does that factor into your thinking?
Oh, thanks again. Design as a profession deals with uncertainty. We often think of ourselves as critical optimists because there's so many wicked problems that we encounter in our day-to-day business. And you're right, climate change is one of those big, wicked, and big, audacious, hairy, scary things that happens. Poverty is another one. So part of what we've been doing on the continent of Africa, and we emphasize Africa with a K because this is a philosophy around Africans co-creating their own narratives, looking at their own realities and referencing them, is that we deliberately tackle these issues within the complexity of anything else we are doing. So, for example, we've done solid waste management challenges in some of our informal settlements, and deliberately we're looking at how some of the UN SDGs impact the communities that we work with. And climate change stands out constantly as we speak. And as you mentioned, I'm from Kenya. We have serious flooding in many parts of our country right now as we speak. And these are realities we have to deal with. So design thinking helps us come up with what we'd call resilient and future-proof solutions that are also adjustable in a sense because nothing is permanent, so that we're able to tackle these kind of challenges. The other thing that design thinking seeks to emphasize is what we'd call an asset-based approach. So when you engage with community members, particularly resource-constrained communities, you endeavor to the greatest extent possible to use the resources they already have. Many times they already have even nuggets of solutions that could be scaled up and made more sophisticated and resilient. But it's always a good thing to start with what the community already has, and not just in terms of the physical and financial resources, but also intellectually and technically, so that whatever solutions you come up with, they can manage, they can fix, they can maintain whether or not you're present, so that you become an invited guest as a design thinking facilitator to actually catalyze the creativity and the thinking, so that the innovation happens because of the co-creation and not you as the godziner stepping in to solve the problem and save the people. That is actually not realistic.
Let's go to George Kemble, the founder of the first design thinking school at Stanford University. And you mentioned that was established 20 years ago. I'm getting a sense that it's a universal language that you speak, but the needs may be different from one space to another.
I think that's actually a really insightful way to frame it, is design thinking often, when someone encounters it, whether it's a student or a leader or an entrepreneur, it often awakens something that's already within them. And that is that deep creative capacity that might have been denied for the early part of their life or career. And so what it means to be creative is also what it means to be human. So it is a fundamental thing that is in all of us, finding new ways forward, being resilient, being conscious in how we move, being creative together. It is how we are in our nature. And sometimes we forget that. And so I think the opportunity is, as people discover them, that part of themselves, which we might all share as humans, then is how do we translate these things in to be unique for our own experience and for our own context and our own culture, with the tools and the techniques and the mindsets and methodologies and the learning practices and the vocabulary so that it is something that matches the context. It's not something that's in, brought in from anywhere else. It's something that comes from the inside out. And that's actually what keeps it alive is we have to continue to be creative about our creative process and be mindful of it. And then all bring our perspective to the table. It ends up being creativity thrives on diversity of perspective.
And in your interaction, George Kemble, founder of the first design thinking school at Stanford University, with your African peers in Richard Perez and Professor Mugenge Erita, in your interaction with them, given the fact that we on the African continent lack the resources and need to be a little more resourceful maybe just than others on this planet, what do you learn from the African kind of experience and reality?
That's such a great question. I would say I learn, well, I think we all learn from everyone we encounter. One of the things that I find to be really fascinating is that the unique way of being here in Africa that's deeply soulful and creative as a natural way of being and resourceful as a natural way of being is so aligned with what it means to move in a design thinking way. In a way, I think the future of design need is waiting to be informed with the kind of insight and ancestral wisdom that Africa holds deep in its bones, and that the global movement is ready and needing what Africa has and can only contribute.
Yes, let's talk about the kind of communalism that we still have on the African continent. Is certainly conducive to awakening this new school of design thinking. Of design thinking. I don't know, Prof. I'm thinking aloud here. Maybe you can make sense of my musings.
Yeah, you're spot on. Actually, I was just enjoying myself and thinking that you should actually carry on because that's exactly what we have, this communalism or the communitarian spirit, the idea that I am because we are, which is Ubuntu centric, is found right across the continent, whether they're the Stockvelds in South Africa or what we call Chamas in Kenya and other self-governing and mutually supportive groupings, where actually we've just been discussing this, where the currency of exchange is trust. Just because I know your cousin, and that's good enough as collateral. I don't need anything else. It is something beautiful that Africa could share with the rest of the world because it's still very strong, even in the 21st century. It's still very humanizing. And I think when we talk about empathy in design thinking, this is something Africa can contribute uniquely to by deepening empathy through some of our practices on this continent. And you're spot on. Communalism and the communitarian spirit are part of this unique mindset and a unique spirituality that Africa can offer humanity.
Richard Perez, founder and director of the Asoplatna D School, Africa, Africa's first school of design, located at the University of Cape Town. Just in terms of the contribution that Africa brings to design thinking, is there anything unique?
Absolutely. I think, the work that we've done so far, the origins around design and design thinking was that the innovation sits in the diversity of the thinking. And traditionally, that's been diversity from a discipline. So, engineer talking to a social scientist and a medical practitioner. But what we found is just diversity in culture, bringing another level of diversity and innovation, which it takes the whole conversation to a new level.
That's
So now not only we can get an engineer talking to a social scientist talking to a marketing person, but then you put another layer on different diversities and different backgrounds and different cultures. It just takes the innovation to a completely different level.
Absolutely.
So
Different
really,
textures.
really, yeah.
We have to wrap it there. It's been a fascinating conversation, certainly one of discovery for me. Design thinking is trending. Richard Perez, founder, Hasso Plattner D School Africa, Prof. Mgendi M. Ritar, industrial designer and researcher at Machakos University, and George Kemble, co-founder of Stanford D School.